Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on live every day from 1 until 4, and you can hear the show in its entirety at any time on the iHeartRadio app by going to the podcast and clicking on John and Ken on Demand or typing that into the search box, John and Ken on Demand.
All right, all the goodies are still here. The Moist Line is tomorrow. It'll be the first of the year. Leave your message using that same iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, the John and Ken. And you can also call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. And in less than 15 minutes, a keyword. First of our show will pop up. All you have to do is go to KFIAM640.com because every time I do, it just the banner clicks down. We enter the keyword to possibly win the $1,000. Stormwatch 2023. You get through it okay? The Cobelts survive?
Well, we survived.
Yeah, well, I saw your video.
You saw the video?
John sent out a video. Well, not sent out, but did you put it on social media?
The photos are on... I know they're on Facebook and probably
they're Instagram. They're on Instagram, too.
They're on Instagram, yeah. 6:30, I woke up and got dressed. And as I'm standing next to my bed, I hear this loud crack. And then a thud. And then the house shook and rolled for several seconds. And the crack sounded like a thunderclap. But the house shook like it was an earthquake. I was confused. So I ran downstairs and went out to the back patio, and my brain could not comprehend what I was looking at. Everything was different. It was kind of dark, and I just didn't understand what was in front of me. But this huge eucalyptus tree from my neighbor's yard had fallen over my back fence, and it reached all the way to our house. It brushed the house in the back. Ooh. And it brought down our what do you call those trees? Doesn't matter. Brought down bamboo. We got a row of bamboo trees, right? The bamboo trees came down. I think it wiped out the lemon tree, and maybe the pomegranate tree.
Oh, not the fruit.
Yeah, I really like the lemon tree. So I'm looking at it.
I didn't think you ever touched a fruit of any nature.
Well, I like looking at the lemons.
You like to look, yes. I do like looking at lemon trees.
Our lemons are really oversized. I don't know if I'm on built on nuclear waste, but they're oversized and they're weirdly shaped. And so it's just fun to look
like
at.
Like basketballs.
Them. Yes, they are. They're really, really, really big. So I'm looking at all this greenery and wood. And as I'm looking, I hear another crack. I look up. There's another eucalyptus tree coming at me.
Wow.
So I turned tail, ran inside. Later, a third one fell at an angle and hit another neighbor's property. And suddenly, it's much brighter in our house because
all these trees blocked the light.
We used to have a bright house, and then the guy behind us started planting these eucalyptus trees, and the house just kept getting darker and darker. And it's, why is it so dark in here? It's the row of trees. Right, so now.
Was it windy? I mean, what caused them to come down, do you think? Or just the flooding of the soil and the roots got loose? Or
our backyard has never drained well. If you remember, I put in turf some years back because it was always a stew of mud. Yeah. And there's a little gully, which means there used to be some kind of creek at the bottom of our property adjacent to the property behind us. And our properties are back to back. But their house behind us is really close to their back property line. And when we bought the house and nobody had any trees, we used to see the old owners were an elderly couple. And they would stand in their floor-to-ceiling window naked.
And I remember that.
You remember?
Oh, I remember you telling this story, yeah.
Yeah, they were old, wrinkled, and pruny. But the guy, and it's always the guy, really loved to stand at the window with his arms stretched out. Everything stretched out.
But, yeah, that's a little exhibitionist.
Yeah, actually, he was a little droopy. And so the kids were small then, and I remember being in the backyard and seeing naked man there, and I was like, oh, come on.
Well, thank God the trees went up.
It's like we just moved in. So my wife planted the bamboo trees,
and then
the new owners came in, and they didn't want to be seen, at least, you know, if they were going to be naked in their bedroom. They had some decorum, so they started planting the eucalyptus trees. But eucalyptus trees, I saw old photos of the West Side from like pre-1940s, before they developed suburbia. And it was rolling hills, grassy, low vegetation and shrubbery, right? There were no tall trees. So we planted these things like eucalyptus trees, and the soil just doesn't hold them, especially soil that's really wet because the water table is really high. You know, all the problems we've had with the house has been water related, leaking in the basement, the mushy backyard, all of it is like the water is just too high, even in drought times. Right. There's probably a spring underneath or whatever. So eventually, I think the soil wore away and it wasn't strong enough to hold up the trees. But boy, when one went down, it was like boom, boom.
I didn't know you got the audio. That's pretty good.
I'm always recording.
I thought you were playing the actual audio of the eucalyptus tree falling.
That's pretty close, except for the big crack at the beginning. And
well, your wife is already correcting you.
What?
There's broken windows, so much damage, and the neighbor did not plant them. They were there forever.
No. Well, maybe
the eucalyptus trees. I guess she's saying they've
been
there forever.
They must have been
very small. You've been in that house a while.
Yeah, when we first moved in, I didn't notice them. That's why we put up the bamboo.
But they broke windows. Now you can sue.
Oh, there is one window.
Okay.
One small window that broke. And there's a small electrical box that fed wires to outdoor lights. That box broke and the wires got severed.
Don't forget about the batting cage.
Oh, how could I? Yeah, my son's batting cage got completely flattened.
Oh, no, you were so proud of that.
The back fence is completely flattened. So there is damage. But, nobody got hurt. It's nothing that the neighbor can't fix. But it's a hell of a way to start the day.
Now, that's a wake-up call.
We're looking at another eucalyptus tree in the corner because that one is potentially aimed at our bedroom. That's on somebody else's property, though.
And so far,
I don't know if he doesn't want to hear about it. So, so you just got to sit. Now there's more rain coming.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the extent of this dump.
No.
This thing was intense, and then it broke up earlier. It came fast. It came through pretty fast because they thought it was going to rain most of today, and now it's cleared out most of Southern California.
Yeah, I just don't know if the ground can take any more water.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a half an inch. You know, is that going to dislodge more gigantic trees? We posted the pictures on social media, and somebody said, you know, they're native to Australia, and down there they're called the Widowmaker. Because I guess they fall down easy. Yeah, they fall down easy.
They only fall on men?
Yes, apparently
right,
they do.
They make the wives who are called widows.
That's right. They only kill men. So you want to take out your husband? Just plant a eucalyptus tree, and it'll fall directly on him and nobody else.
Yeah, no.
That was a great day.
I just got multiple texts, and I won't read them all. But one says he's a dope.
I'm a dope?
Yeah, your wife is just correcting your information. So
she's writing to you that I'm a dope.
There's one line in it. Yes. But I like your version. It's very good.
No.
It was really mostly about when the eucalyptus trees
were
there.
I just omitted the damage.
You did omit the window breaking and the batting cage. That's big. I mean,
it was
baseball childhood. All right, a reminder that on our webpage, KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page, you can still enter Ghoul Pool 2023. This will end tomorrow night at midnight, so you got to get your three entries in by then. So if you want to spend some time thinking about it, fine, but the cutoff is tomorrow night. Remember the rule, which came into play this past year. Anyone who dies during this window week will not count. Apparently that was Sidney Poitier last year. Someone guessed him, but it doesn't count. It doesn't matter whether or not you put his name in before he passed away. We're sorry, but we have this one-week window rule just in case.
Because people cheat, that's why.
Yeah,
they
named
cheat.
After Sonny Bono.
That's right. You know, people started cheating, and they would slip in names that had already died
during the entry week. Right.
So you can't do that.
No. People want to win at all costs, don't they?
I know.
Back to the Idaho murders. Bombshell developments. We finally got Brian Koberger in court in Idaho. They have released the probable cause affidavit. We'll be talking to Alex Stone later for a lot more. That'll be in the 3 o'clock hour. But I can't help but talk about what I thought was one of the biggest reveals in the affidavit was that a roommate, remember, four people were murdered, but there were also two other women sleeping in the house that night who were not attacked. One of them apparently is Dylan Mortensen. And here is what she said in an interview. She was awoken around 4 a.m. on November 13th. It sounded like Kaylee Goncalves playing with her dog. And you know, in the middle of the night, it's blurry. You can't really tell what you're hearing. You might even be dreaming. A short time later, she said she heard what she thought, or who she thought was Goncalves, say something to the effect of, "There's someone here." She stated she looked out of her bedroom, but did not see anything when she heard the comment about someone being in the house. She stated she opened the door a second time when she thought she heard crying coming from Zana Kernodle's room. That's one of the other roommates who was murdered. She said she thought she heard a male voice say something to the effect of, "It's okay, I'm going to help you." And then, the unbelievable part. She told police she opened her bedroom door a third time after hearing crying from another room and noticed a figure clad in black clothing and a mask that covered the person's mouth and nose, walking towards her. She stood in a frozen shock phase, was her description. The male walked towards the back sliding glass door. Dylan locked herself in her room after seeing the male. This leads investigators to believe the murderer had just left the scene. How's that for creepy? That's like right out of a horror movie.
I know, complete with the black mask covering most of the face.
Clearly, he was not interested in murdering anybody but these four.
He left something behind, though.
Yeah, he did. This also did him in.
A tan leather knife sheath.
A sheath.
Which was next to Madison Mogan's bed. She was one who was murdered. And they found male DNA left on the button snap of the knife sheath.
Forgot the knife sheath.
That's right.
This criminology student really botched it, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to keep your cool and take care of every detail when you're busy.
I mean, half of me still believes he did this because he wanted to see what it would be like and if he could get away with it. because he studies this stuff.
Yeah.
That's how crazy I think this person is.
And according
also, to... Also, they tracked his cell phone. And what do you know? The blip showed up in the area very close to Moscow, Idaho, that time of the morning where the murders occurred. And then the phone went off, and then the phone went back on, and the person was back near Pullman. So that's another good piece of evidence against him. I mean, we're talking 3, 4, 5 a.m. So, you know, it's a Sunday morning. Someone could have been out all night, but... He was also clearly in the area. Of the
well, there was another story, excuse me, that they think that he was circling around the block three times during that time period before, after and before he was home.
No.
He left the home 2:47 and did not appear on the Pullman Washington network until 4:48. And it was detected near Blaine, south of Moscow. And then at 5:30, it was back in Pullman. But I don't have that other story in front of me where it had him going around the block several times.
The roommate, Dylan, described the figure as about 5'10 or taller, male, not muscular, but athletically built with bushy eyebrows, she said. What I always found weird was that... She just goes back in the room, locks the door. Remember, nobody called 911 till almost noon. That's just, I don't know.
I don't understand that part.
All right, so somehow you get over this, a stranger in the house, weird noises. You go back to bed, but you don't get up for hours.
But she didn't
go. Investigate or,
she didn't go
or and call the cops and say there's somebody weird in our house.
And see the other girls?
Yeah, this part has not made sense.
Unless she was really blasted. Could she have been so drunk that she just couldn't...
Yeah, it's possible. I forget if this is the one that came from the food truck of the sorority party. Is this the one that, remember, the two girls were at a party and then the other two were at the food truck?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, as you might have suspected, they rooted through the Koberger's home trash in Pennsylvania to get the DNA they wanted to match to Brian Koberger. They recovered trash from their residence in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania. So that was another piece of this. So it sounds to me like it's a pretty strong case.
Oh, absolutely.
Circumstantially and DNA-wise.
Absolutely. The DNA always, to me, and it does in most cases, seals it.
Right.
His DNA is on the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these cases really aren't complicated. Unfortunately, defense lawyers and the media have hyped up all the little unimportant inconsistencies, and they've hyped alternate possibilities, because all that stuff gets ratings. It gets an audience, right? Well, I don't know. You know what I heard. You know what it could be, too. You know what they missed. And everybody gets lost in the weeds way off the road instead of looking at, what do we have here? We have his car sighted at the scene. We have his DNA at the scene. We have his cell phone pings tracking him from his apartment back to... Moscow and the return. I mean, what do you want here? And he's a criminology student, and he was obsessed with murderers.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna have a lot more at 3:05. Alex Stone is covering this, ABC News for KFI, with more details from the case that was revealed today in court against Brian Koberg, the man suspected of killing the Idaho students. More coming up. Blake Trolley's next to talk about Southern California storm damage from the big rainstorm that swept in overnight. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 till 4 now, 1 until 4, and you could hear the entire show anytime after that on the iHeartRadio app. Click podcasts and request John and Ken on demand.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to be talking to Mark Krikorian. He's the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. An announcement made today by the Biden administration concerning the border. New policies concerning asylum and Title 42 and a path to get in the country. Is this nothing but a trick, a sleight of hand? Mark, of course, studies this stuff. His whole organization is on top of it. He'll tell us what this all means right after the news at 2 o'clock. Well, we got the report of storm damage from John Cobelt and the Cobelt house with eucalyptus trees falling over. But what about the rest of Southern California? We're going to bring on Blake Trolley from KFI News to talk about the results of this. It was a Pineapple Express and a bomb cyclone. What the
hell? I heard sirens going off all day. around town.
Oh, yeah?
Wherever I was, yeah, there were sirens echoing in the distance. Is Blake there?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, there were a lot of sirens today. You know, this obviously led to a lot of road hazards across the area, but overall not as bad as, you know, what was being predicted yesterday. If you remember yesterday, the trajectory of this storm was supposed to be that it started at 6 a.m. with a rain rate of about 1 inch per hour for about 6 hours. And what we ended up seeing today was by early morning, the National Weather Service had said that the bulk of that rain, that really intense rain, had already moved through the area. And from there, we still saw some pretty steady rains. They were kind of on and off, but yet they weren't at that intensity that, you know, those fears were over yesterday. And again, that said, there still is a flood watch across Southern California. There's still fears of flash floods across Southern California. What we can expect for the rest of the afternoon, as it's been described to me, is periods of intermittent rain. As for the damage we saw from the rain that we got, and again, just because it wasn't as intense doesn't mean it wasn't intense. The Sepulveda Basin had flooding issues that led to road closures. More than 2,000 LADWP customers lost power. There was flooding on the streets in LA, flooding on the 710. This was in the North Long Beach area. CHP issued closures in both Orange County and the Huntington Beach area, and in the Pacific Palisades area. Malibu was hit with a rock slide. And there were eyes on recent burn scars, including in the Duarte area, where officials had lined roads with K-Rail to keep mud away from homes. Duarte Public Safety Manager Larry Brusita says the city was watching the area very closely through the night into the morning.
We have cameras set up on the hillside, so we're monitoring all the hillside to make sure.
We'll try that again, guys.
We have cameras set up on the hillside, so we're monitoring all the hillside to make sure what was coming down, if it was mud, debris, or what it was. From what we saw on the camera angles is that most of it was just like muddy water and that sort of thing. And the reason for that is because we just didn't get those intensity rates that were predicted. So we got somewhere around a third to just below a half an inch per hour rain intensity rates. And just like you mentioned, it was fast moving. They predicted it to be slow moving, but it did move pretty quickly, especially for the city of Duarte. I know some of the areas surrounding us got a lot more, but in our particular situation, we didn't get as much.
Now, he says part of the success as well, for the reason that that particular area wasn't hit so bad, is that the fire that moved through here earlier this year, that it was called the fish fire that moved through Duarte, it moved through pretty fast. It took out a lot of the top of vegetation, but it did largely leave the roots alone. So a lot of those roots were able to regrow. When you look at the area, it doesn't look like any, you know, recent burn had come through. Now, guys, for some rain totals, we're still waiting for this thing to completely wrap up. But, you know, pretty heavily into this. Downtown L.A. at this point is close to 2 inches of rain. Van Nuys, close to 3 inches. Porto Ranch, more than 3 inches of rain. You get out to Pasadena, Claremont, that's where you start to see those numbers drop for L.A. County. Pasadena, about 2.5 inches of rain. Claremont, about an inch of rain. You know, of course, this really hit the mountain areas hard. The Mount Baldy Resort had to close. We're seeing reports of up to 2 feet of snow across a lot of the mountains here in Southern California.
So there were no evacuation orders or any of that stuff that happened last night.
No, exactly. And again, a big part of this is, I mean, of course, there were evacuation warnings, and right, they were keeping a close eye on everything. But as described, this moved a lot faster. And as you know, you just heard there, without that rate of rain that they were anticipating. But again, you know, and we just detailed it. It still was a lot of rain, and it still caused a lot of issues.
And there was nobody carried off in the L.A. River, homeless encampment people or any of that stuff that we see after some of these heavy rains. No, you didn't see any reports of that.
I didn't see any reports of that. The reports I've seen of injuries seem to be coming from up north. Of course, there's that two-year-old that was killed when that tree toppled in Sonoma County. It fell on a mobile home. The kid was sitting on a couch, and it hit him. A teen hydroplaned and died in Fairfield. But as far as Southern California goes, of course, we've heard those sirens, but you know, we haven't seen any of those major casualties.
All right, Blake, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, talking about the storm damage. Yeah, John, apparently a young child, as he just mentioned, up in Sonoma County, was killed when a redwood tree fell on their trailer.
That's horrible.
And now you were talking about the tree that fell near your home. So,
oh yeah,
that's something you don't think about. You think about people getting into accidents when you have these storms and dying from that. But
I saw a guy
about trees falling on people and homes.
I saw a guy in West Hollywood. A tree fell in front of his house, and he said he knew by the sound of it. It hit his SUV parked right in front of the house. Yeah. And there it was, just completely. If he had been sitting in the SUV, that would have been it.
There's probably more rain coming next week. This is a good time to repeat to you that just a couple of months ago, this was supposed to be a La Nina winter, which means drier than usual.
Yes. 91% chance of La Nina. So
we do our usual na-na dance.
That's right.
Don't listen to what they say. They don't know. It's in God's hands.
Right.
This is nature.
I mean, they didn't even know how fast this storm was going to go through.
They
thought it was going to be...
That's right. They thought it was going to hang there and really dump a lot more rain.
Right. So
that it just whipped through.
They don't know. They don't know short-term, long-term, 100 years from now. They don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that think that they can control a lot of aspects of life, right?
Yeah. Isn't that funny? You actually think you can control this.
Predict and control, right?
Predict and control. What kind of lunatics do we have running around? And they're all in... They're all in positions of power and influence in the media and academia and politics. You're not controlling squat. Nothing. What's going to happen is going to happen. And you're not going to predict it either, you bunch of fools.
We got a lot ahead. We'll be talking to Mark Recoria next hour about the latest Biden administration move on the migration mass at the border. Some change in policies. They're actually going to step up the use of Title 42, the emergency order, to stop people from coming into the country because of COVID, even though it's still in doubt as to whether or not it can continue. We'll get to that. Coming up next, though, is a preview. We'll be in Bidenville. We think you enjoy one of the first sound clips from Biden we have in the new year at an appearance in Kentucky. It's a baffler. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
John and Ken Show.
Oh. We'd like to formally welcome you to the rest home of Old Joe. Welcome to Bidenville,
thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you.
All men and women are created by go. You know the thing.
There's a man on the moon, or whatever, you know, something, or you know, whether those aliens are here or not. I commuted for 36 years as Vice President of the United States. A lot of the folks in Amtrak became my family. Not a joke.
I was on the television. I was on the telephone.
Every time I hear Hail to the Chief, wonder where the hell is he? Turn around and where's the president? What I can't remember it. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominate Javier Baccaria. What?
President Harris is a proud Howard alum.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Kleptocracy. Yeah. Kleptocracy.
Where's Jackie?
The guys who are the kleptocracy.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Still looking for Jackie.
And now, to give you a tour of Bidenville before your extended stay, here's John and Ken.
Every day he gets up. Where's Jackie? Where's Jackie?
Oh. Well.
Where am I?
John and Ken show. We're now on 1 to 4.
Run 1
here
to 4,
on KFI.
Yes.
Yeah, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, but you can pick up the show all the time. The podcast gets put up there right after we finish the show, so if you're able to pick it up later in the day, that's when you're going to hear us too, besides listening live, like, right now. Yeah, we're in Bidenville. You know what people are calling it? This is sort of a flashback. Remember when Tim Conway Jr. did What the Hell Did Jesse Jackson Say?
Yes.
People are saying, what the hell did Joe Biden say?
Well,
they're like the chapters? A lot of that's in the intro there to Bidenville, but it's along the same lines. This is another puzzler. We'll give you the background first. He went to Kentucky yesterday, and he was at a bridge. Very exciting. The Brent Spence Bridge to talk about infrastructure funding. So I don't know if that's going to help as we play this clip, because he's trying to get people fired up for the future. He believes the future looks bright. He wanted to talk about his old neighborhood. I guess where he grew up in Delaware. Did he grow up in Delaware? I don't know.
Near Scranton, Pennsylvania. Mostly.
Oh, that's right. He did. That's where he grew up, in Scranton. All right. So let's listen and see what we can find out.
I've traveled over 140 countries around the world. I'll paraphrase the phrase of my old neighborhood. The rest of the country, the world's not a patch on our jeans. If we do what we want to do, we need to do.
The rest of the...
Yeah, I mean, the full quote was, our best days are ahead of us, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been doing this a long time, folks. Our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. I've long said I mean this. I never, never, ever been more optimistic about America's prospects. And I am today. Never, never. And then that part we just played, I've traveled over 140 countries. To paraphrase the phrase in my old neighborhood, the rest of the countries, the world is not a patch in our genes.
The rest of the country, the world is not a patch on our genes.
If we do what we want to do, we need to do.
Never.
That is the transcript of that audio we played. So
can you play that little clip again?
I've traveled over 140 countries around the world. And so I'll paraphrase the phrase in my old neighborhood. The rest of the countries, the world is not a patch on our genes. If we do what we want to do, we need to do.
The rest of the country, the world's not a patch on our genes.
Now, he's paraphrasing a phrase. So
paraphrasing a phrase, which is also an odd twist.
Isn't that some like editing or truncating it or something?
I'm hitting a wall on this. My Biden translator is broken.
No, the patch in our genes is the puzzler.
The patch.
The rest of the countries, the world is not a patch in our genes.
It's not a patch on our genes. Why?
What happened to our genes? They required a patch. And
the patch, the rest of the world is not even a patch.
We move over to his possible successor.
Don't say that.
What do you think I'm going to say?
It's just scary to think of her in charge.
It's not her. There's a story that came out that he's dumping her, but of course we hear that all the time. And you're talking about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
It's Newsom.
Oh, that one. Don't scare me there either.
Newsom's going to do a big show tomorrow. Do you know what tomorrow is? He's being inaugurated for his second term.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's going to march to the state capitol to show what a peaceful protest looks like in sort of a play on the January 6th insurrection.
What an idiot.
Yep.
He's still fixated on that. Nobody normal cares about any of that. Really?
As the Sacramento Bee reported, an opportunity to portray the Golden State's case as a bulwark against far-right extremism. This observance will be the California spirit of opportunity and inclusion.
Do you know any far-right extremists?
I do not personally know.
Do you ever see any out on the street?
You said you knew somebody distantly that's a QAnon guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. But that's your only connection.
He wasn't out there on January 6th insurrecting.
Was he cheering it on?
I don't know. I don't talk to him.
Oh, okay.
But well, that appeals to such a tiny sliver of weirdos, whole insurrection thing. I almost never hear anybody normal talk about that or reference it or watch hearings or nothing.
That's all over now that we have a different Congress, right? There's no more January 6th.
Yeah, it is over. We don't have the different Congress yet, but no, all those hearings are over.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are fixated on all the wrong stuff. They're distracted by all kinds of nonsense.
It says here that in contrast to 4 years ago, this year's inaugural will be very low budget and low key because the state faces a projected $25 billion budget deficit.
How did he go from a $100 billion surplus to a $25 billion deficit?
Sounds like theft.
If he didn't blow a lot of money on garbage.
That is a good question. That's a big, horrible turnaround.
Have you ever heard of any state with a $125 billion swing in a year? What the hell? What did he do with it? I thought there were like savings and rainy day funds.
Yeah, they put some away in the reserves. But what really happened too is the revenue take is dropping dramatically because it was a terrible year for investments.
Well, they thought the stock market was going to go up double digits every year for the rest of our lives.
Do you remember 1999? That's exactly what they thought when they gave out all those raises and pension boosts to the public employees. Same scenario.
He didn't
do that this time, but he's locked us into some very long-term spending here. That's going to hurt
us. Did they think all those tech companies, their stock was going to be not only worth that much, but go up exponentially every year when their profits weren't tracking the price of the stock? I mean, I don't know if they're stupid or they're just so irresponsible they don't care. I guess they just don't care. Nobody would run their finances like this. Nobody.
All right, Mark Krikorian is coming on next, the executive director for the Center for Immigration Studies. There is nobody better on the matter of the border and the immigration policies than Mark. So today, the Biden administration is announcing a big change in policy concerning the border. They're going to actually use Title 42 more to turn people right around at the border, but they're going to provide some sort of a path, a more certain path for migrants to come into the country legally and to stay here. He'll explain what it is and what it really means, if it's just a sleight of hand. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Layla Muhammad in for Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.